Do you remember back in February when you volunteered for coronavirus duty? I don't remember that either. That's because we didn't volunteer. We got drafted. And here we are some months into this conscription and a good many months to go. What do we make of this season? What is God up to with us in this? What is he making of us in this season? Now, that's a question that David pondered as he thought back on a wilderness time in his own life. What was God doing in me and through me in this place? And he wrote a song about it. That's what David did. He wrote songs. And we have that song he wrote as Psalm 63. And this is one of several psalms that actually tells us where David was when he wrote it. And here's what the superscription of the psalm says. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now that's a picture of the Judah wilderness, very barren land. And David either wrote it while he was there or some years later, reflecting back on that season. And since we've been drafted into the wilderness ourselves, I think this psalm can sing to us and turn on some lights. Now let's pray before we read God's word. Lord God, we give thanks that your word talks about mysteries far beyond us, but also it comes right down to where we're living here and now. And we need that word today. We want to be faithful. We want to serve you well, but it's a hard time. So speak to us, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Psalms are intended to be sung or read, and so we're going to read them responsively. I'll read and then you'll respond, and together we'll read Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. My soul is satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. For you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may have noticed that often the best humor comes from trying times. And this is a trying time. And one of the bright spots in it is that it has generated a lot of humor, like the picture of the guy who needs to keep his hands away from his face, wearing the dog's special collar, and here is the Corona version of Abbey Road, and here is the Last Supper Zoom meeting, Corona version virus, and here is a Corona virus baptism. That's a super soaker and a baby being held out. You know, may as well laugh. It helps. It just helps to have some things to laugh at ourselves and where we're stuck. And the laughter works for a while, but you know, we're getting past a while now. This is going to be a long time. And coronavirus is hard. And here's what we're missing. We're missing schools opening. At least most of them are opening virtually, and even those that are meeting in person are going to be very different. And we're missing normal weddings and funerals, where you can hug someone's neck and say hi up close. And we're missing sports, some of which have been canceled. Some are playing to empty stadiums. We're missing family time, reunion time. And how about little things like freedom to come and go when you want to do it? And how about financial security and income? For a bunch of us, that's messed up too. And here's what we're missing in church. We're missing being all together in worship with choirs and praise bands and children and the whole deal. And we're missing classes and women's Bible studies. And we're missing dinners and hanging out around the coffee pot. We miss being together without masks. And we didn't know how much we liked each other. But we've discovered that. Even the introverts among us are looking for a hug. Now, let's be optimistic and say that there's a vaccine by the end of the year. They say that could be the earliest possible time. Even so, even if it's that early, we're about halfway there. There's still a ways to go with this. And there's no guarantee that they'll even find a vaccine, much less find it then. Pray that they do. But where are we for now? Well, we're in the wilderness. And part of being in the wilderness is you don't know how long it's going to be. When you get drafted into the army, you've got a 2-year commitment, and you can start counting the days till you're done. But when you get drafted into the wilderness, well, that's part of it. You just don't know how long it is. Part of the unpredictability of this is its duration. And we're not used to that. We're used to controlling pretty much everything, including how long everything lasts. And it wears on us. That's our wilderness. Now, this is David's wilderness, the wilderness of Judah, down in the southern part of the Judah territory. And the story of his years there is found in 1 Samuel. Here's what was happening. David had been anointed king, but he had not yet been crowned. And the current king, Saul, decided that he didn't want David around. Didn't want him around as in, we're going to kill this guy. So David had to go find a place to hide, and that's how he ended up in the wilderness. It's a barren place. It was good for hiding, but not much else. It was a dangerous place. Because there were other people hiding in the wilderness who had other reasons to hide. A bunch of rough folks were out there. And there were wild animals and no easy source of food and. Lots of ands, lots of challenges in the wilderness. And that's what the wilderness is. It's a tough place to be. David didn't have a choice. And there he was, kind of like us. And get this, this is how the story works. David had already been anointed king sometime before. Remember the story? Prophet Samuel sent to anoint the one that the Lord would name as the next king, and sure enough, it turned out to be David the shepherd boy. And you would think that being anointed king would just kind of roll out a red carpet before you to really grand living. That's not how it worked for David. David, the king-to-be, was not spared the wilderness. The Lord didn't spare him the wilderness, but the Lord did redeem the wilderness in David's life. And that's what he wrote his song about. That's what he was reflecting on in this wilderness psalm. Now, a lot of the time when we refer to the challenge of applying old stories to our current situation, scripture stories to our current setting, we talk about connecting the dots. We're trying to connect the dot from then and there to here and now. And sometimes it's pretty challenging, but honestly, this one's pretty easy. In Jesus Christ, you've been chosen. The Son of the King has welcomed you into the family. And having been welcomed into that family, you're now a daughter, a son of the King. You're part of a royal family. And you were no more fit for that than David was fit for his role. But by God's grace, you and I were chosen and included into this family. That's what he does through Jesus. And we would like to think that having been received such a royal welcome, we then would have the red carpet rolled out before us. royal red carpet of royal expectations that everything would just go very smoothly. That's not how it worked for David. It's not how it's working for us in this season. We've been drafted into the wilderness. God does not spare his children, even his royal children, this wilderness experience. But he does redeem it. He has ways that he wants to work even in this season. And that's why David's wilderness psalm sings for us right now. We've had hard times before. I mean, this is not your first time in life to have a hard time. Always we have a rolling prayer list in our church. It's because one and then another and then this family and that individual is having a hard time. They're in the wilderness, and so we pray for them. But here's what's different now. We're all in the wilderness. The whole congregation, our city, our state, our nation, the world is in this wilderness. And it's tough. And so this ancient wilderness psalm is especially fit to be sung to us. And what I love about the song is that even though it's about David's time in the wilderness, he sings not about the tough time, he sings about what God gave him there. He lifts up the gifts that God gave to him that he could receive only in the wilderness. These were the kind of gifts he couldn't receive in normal time. He had to be in that hard place in order to receive them. And that's what he celebrates here. And the first one he named was his hunger for God. Here's what he sang. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, like being thirsty in the wilderness where there is no water. Now think about what all David's missing. He's missing basically the same things that you and I are missing. David is missing the freedom to come and go like he wants. He can't do that. He's missing safety. He's missing security. He's missing good times with family and friends. I mean, he's in a sure enough tough spot wilderness. And he doesn't name any of those. Rather, he focuses on what God has given him in the wilderness. He named a hunger that he had as the gift God gave him. Now, he's hungry for all these other things, but it was in the wilderness that he was renewed in his hunger for the presence of the Lord. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. Now, we don't think of thirsting and fainting as good things ordinarily, but David understands that this yearning for the presence of God is God's good gift to him. And it was in the wilderness that he was awakened to that gift that God had woven into the depths of his being, but from which he had become distant during good times. It's what happens in good times. We forget the giver because we're all focused on the gifts. And when David was out in the wilderness where those gifts were gone, suddenly he was reawakened to the most profound gift God would give, a yearning for himself. He was restored in that deep, life-giving hunger for God. It's one of the ways God redeems the wilderness. I mean, maybe it's not the same for you as it is for me, but I know when everything's rolling along well, I began focusing on everything that's rolling along well. And when things start going lousy, something deep inside of me is awakened with a new hunger for the one who gives care and gives the gifts. And that itself is a gift that comes to us in the wilderness. And there's another. The other gift that he gives is satisfaction. In case you can't see that, that's barbecue and all the trimmings. Now, wait a minute, I thought we're hungering and thirsting here, but it is funny how in his psalm he juxtaposes hunger and thirst with deep satisfaction, puts them back to back. And here's what he says, my soul is satisfied as with fat and rich food. So we're not talking about the kind of food you eat when you got to go get your cholesterol checked. We're talking the good stuff, fat food, rich food. The kind that makes you lean back and go, oh, man, that was good. And specifically, he's focused upon the gift that comes in such richness to us. It's in verse 3. It's the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed is a hard word to translate into English, so difficult to capture the nuances that the old translators of the King James made up a word, loving kindness. They put two words together to try and fill it out a little bit. And most modern translations go with steadfast love or generous love or something such as that. That's what David had discovered in the wilderness, this deep satisfaction. So he's yearning, he's hungry, and then focused upon God, suddenly he's finding himself filled because it has focused him on the hesed of God, the loving kindness, the steadfast love of God. And it's deeply, deeply satisfying. It's a rich feast, the kind that goes down deep and changes from within. But don't just picture David doing what we typically do after a feast. Let's see if I can get... There we go. Don't want to miss my happy picture here. After I eat a feast like that, I'm sitting back and moaning on the couch. But David describes this, and then I just think it's interesting the language he uses, because he's talking about going into his happy dance. Remember, David was prone to do this. I mean, he's a singer, he plays the harp, and when that expression of praise isn't enough, he breaks out into dancing. It's just what David does. And he did that, for example, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. David was dancing at the head of the parade. And so listen to his words. Right here in the wilderness, once I tasted your hesed, steadfast love, I'm praising you, I'm blessing you, I'm lifting my hands. David's dancing in the wilderness. Now we're all going to be dancing when we come out of this wilderness, aren't we? David did too. You can be sure there was a lot of dancing going on when finally he was able to leave the wilderness. But already in the wilderness, with the presence of God, his steadfast love, this praise begins to well up within David. You know, most of us being Presbyterian are a little inhibited in our expression. That's kind of a polite way to put it. And so we're not inclined to dance in the presence of everybody. I mean, I'd like to get where I could. But could you dance at least by yourself in your prayer time while you're still in the wilderness before it ends, to stand and praise God and begin to move and to honor him? I think you'll be surprised at what all it releases in you as you begin to praise God while still in the wilderness. And as if that weren't enough, David had one more gift that he mentions here, and that's the gift of reassurance. David had already experienced the Lord's goodness many times. You've experienced the Lord's goodness many times. I mean, you can run through your head the times that God has acted in your behalf. David could do that. He had experienced God when he had spent those years shepherding sheep out in the wilderness. He knew God was good. And then there came that moment when he stood before that giant guy, Goliath, and slung his stone, and it found its mark. He could cite all these things that God had done. He knew God was good. Now, you can do that too. And I like to think of myself as not needing much reassurance, that I'm okay, that I know what God has done, I'm assured of what God has done. But actually, in this season, I found myself needing reassurance. And maybe you have too. There's something about the wilderness. It's disorienting. We're not on familiar turf. We don't know how long it's going on. It's just got a lot of tough parts to it. And we can name all the good things that God has done, and yet we still need reassurance. And here's how David described that. It's in verses 9 and 10. Those who sought to destroy me in the wilderness with a sword will meet a sword. And wild animals which have come after me in the wilderness will now be after them, them being my enemies. David is reassured that the perils of the wilderness will be taken care of. And what he's singing basically is, God has my back. Now, we could use some of that ourselves in the wilderness here. We want to know that God has our back. Something about being in the wilderness can put you to looking over your shoulder. And it's good to know that God is there, because we're facing genuine perils here, health perils and economic struggles and relational pressures and health, mental health strains. All of it's coming at once, and we're getting it from all sides. And we can cite the good things that God has done in our lives, but we also need His direct touch in this season to reassure us, to let us know that He has our backs. And He's glad to give that. Ask for it. Ask for it. Lord, I need some reassurance in this time. God wants you to know that He's there with you. In the wilderness, He has your back. It's going to be okay. And He's happy to reassure you of that. So just ask. Okay. So here we are, friends. We're in the wilderness. And surprise, 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 it comes with gifts. This hunger for God that had gotten dulled in us, it's awakened. This sense of satisfaction just in God's love. It's been lifted up in our lives. This reassurance that God has our back, that we're going to be okay, that He's going to see us through this time. Now that's what He's doing in us, but He also wants to do something through us, because we're not alone in this wilderness. We're together with as a congregation. We're part of a city and a state and a nation and a world that is in this wilderness time together. And we as people who've been given a mission to serve Jesus, serve Him here and now. And part of what we bring to the occasion is the witness of our lives as we've trusted in this One who's seen us through. You know, it's not complicated. We think that we have to have some kind of really fancy sermon to present to someone, or some really fancy worked out kind of apologetic. The thing that works right now is just to be with people where they are and hear them out and be willing to share your own story about how you're making it and what the Lord has done to sustain you in this time. It takes some creativity right now. We've got all this social distancing thing going on. But you can do this. You can find someone and say, let's meet across the patio from each other and catch up. And you can do this in a Zoom meeting. You can do this by phone. You can do this in a big room with a mask on. We can do this. This is not the mission of God with the pause button push. This is the mission of God in this season, and you've been called. And part of your equipment in your calling is that you're in the same place as everybody else is. But you're experiencing the care of the Savior. A yearning in your heart for Him. A satisfaction in His presence. And a reassurance that He has your back. Those are huge gifts to bring to people in simple, kind ways. You've been sent. Let's seize the moment. Now let's pray. Lord, we give thanks that You are in charge of every season of our lives. And the way You carry it forward is that You bring grace, grace that is powerful to sustain and to change, to carry us through. We trust You. We can't see very far down the road, but we see a couple steps and we see that You're walking with us, and we trust You. And we pray that You would use us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.